Hello, my name is Paul Green, chairman of the City Club of Chicago and WGN political analyst. Today at the City Club, we had Leanne Redden, executive director of the Regional Transportation Authority. Speaking to a packed house, she talked about the need for more investment in mass transit, not because just for revenue needs, but she called it an investment because this is the future of big city America. The better your transit, the better chance you have to grow your economy and to grow your jobs. She also said at the end is that don't think of revenue as something from a budget. Think of it as an investment on the budget. And she was very emphatic that 62% of all people moving to Chicago for work take mass transit. And that was probably the most telling statistic of the entire speech.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for that very warm introduction. I'd like, actually, everyone to introduce me and put the Australia thing in there so people don't spend the first 3 minutes going, she talks funny, where's she from? So, but I think many of you know me, and it's really a pleasure to be here today. Thanks all for coming. Many of you have probably heard me say before, and sometimes I think I'm a little bit of a broken record, but I truly believe the coordination, collaboration, and cooperation that now exists between the RTA, CTA, Metra, and PACE is really the key to success of public transportation in our region. Many of our key partners are here today. Did you know that last year, all of us went to DC, all of us together, RTA, CTA, Metra, and PACE? We spoke to members of the Illinois Congressional Delegation pushing for a long-term, stable surface transportation bill and really stressing the importance of public transportation. On one of those visits, we walked into the office of one of our members of Congress, and his immediate reaction was, whoa, all of you here together? All the transit agencies in Washington advocating jointly? Then he said, you know, I'm not sure I actually ever remember that happening before. And I think that's a credit to the leadership of those individuals, some of who are here today, and I think it's why we've been successful working together. So thanks to Don Orsino, TJ Ross, and Dorval Carter, and all the board chairs, especially Chairman Dillard, who is here today as well, because I think it's their commitment and their support that has really helped our success move forward. And, of course, I'd like to thank the RTA board members that are here, as well as many RTA staff who are here. And it's really their commitment, their professionalism, and their dedication that really sort of, it's on their shoulders that I stand and sort of help me be here today and tell this story. I'd also like to recognize my husband, Brian, who is here today. Thank you for all your support. I couldn't do this also without you. So, all right, before I get going here, I'd like to acknowledge something that is probably front and center in everybody's minds, and that's the state budget impasse. Yes, I said it. I certainly don't pretend to have a solution, but I want to acknowledge the very real political and fiscal crisis, because what I have to say here, the gist of what I have to say today might seem as if I'm operating in some kind of alternate universe and a little detached from reality. Because what I'm going to tell you that we have an opportunity to make a large-scale, long-term investment in a world-class transit system that will pay dividends for years to come. If we truly want to move forward, compete with our economic rivals throughout this nation, and continue to attract businesses and young talent to our metro area, we as a region, as a state, are going to have to invest in this asset that has helped build this area into a global city and an economic leader. And I'm referring to it as an investment very purposefully. Like I said before, it might seem that I'm a bit unhinged from the economic and political reality that we're living in. But I'm not ignoring the state's fiscal woes. I truly believe that a long-term plan for investing in our transit capital infrastructure is part of the solution to some of our state's overarching problems. It's an expenditure with an incredibly good return on investment and mechanism for driving our economy forward. We have a unique opportunity, yes, it's an opportunity, to capitalize and not squander this asset that has been built over the last century and a half, has endured the rise of the automobile and our changing geographic area. Transit is more important today than it has ever been. We need to change our focus. Stop thinking about transit investment as something that would be a nice to invest in if we had some money lying around. Instead, we need to start thinking of transit investment as a fundamental component of our region and state success. Because if we're serious about moving forward, transit cannot be an afterthought. It must be a forethought. Its fate inseparable from the fate of our regional and state economy. But it's not my role to prioritise the state's spending decisions. Lawmakers must make those decisions, and I don't envy them for that, especially in these very difficult political times. And so, while I certainly think it's lawmakers' role to decide on how to invest taxpayer money, I think it's the RTA's role to at least present a case for that investment in the nation's second largest transit system and prove that it is worthy of that investment. We need to tell a better story about what your money could buy, why it's important, and how it will impact you. Now, some of you were probably here yesterday to hear Jim Riley, former RTA McPeer chairman, speak, and now he's a senior fellow at the Metropolitan Planning Council. Jim delivered a very blunt message regarding what needs to be invested across our broader transportation infrastructure. I'm here to continue that drumbeat. I joked with Jim earlier, we're kind of like a left hook and then a right hook, so we're sort of tag-teaming this over the next 2 days, but I think that's important. The truth is, as Jim indicated, we as a state and a region have been underinvesting in our transit system for a very long time. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we don't invest a lot of money on transit. We do. But that's the operating side of the ledger. Taxpayers and riders spend billions of dollars a year on transit operations. But I told you earlier I was going to present a case for making a capital investment in our system. So here goes. Our region's 2016 capital program includes $871 million in capital funding. That $871 million includes no state funds. In fact, no state money is included in our entire five-year capital program. And that's problematic, and here's why. We need to invest more if we want to make a dent in our current state of good repair backlog that currently sits at $19.5 billion. And here's something else to think about. It would require an annual investment of $2.62 billion to bring our system into a state of good repair over 20 years. As of right now, we're only investing about a third of that on an annual basis. We didn't get here overnight. The state of good repair backlog has grown over the course of many years, the product of chronic underinvestment. But every day this issue is not adequately addressed, our problems compound. Aging assets, increased maintenance costs, more and more of our capital expenditures are spent patching old assets so that they can continue to perform as our riders expect. Slow zones, crowded cars, buses and trains feel like some of the same ones that RTA Chairman Dillard talks about riding with his grandparents to the paediatrician. Don Orsino recently said that some of his Metro cars could sign up for Medicare soon as they're about to see their 65th birthday. I should say, despite our significant capital deficit, CTA, Metra and PACE have been creatively investing the capital funds we do have to improve your commute and travel throughout the region. Metra has built 11 bridges on the UP North Line and is in the process of building more. Over the past 5 years, nearly one-third of all CTA rail stations have received significant improvement or full reconstruction. PACE's bus-on-shoulder ridership is more than six times higher than it was in 2010. We know we need to continue to invest in new trains, buses, and stations. But just as importantly, we need to invest in the invisible stuff. The stuff that really makes it work. The signals, the switches, the communication systems, and technology. That really will help us deliver shorter travel times and more capacity. The things that really drive the economy. Now, we're not facing these problems alone. This is an issue plaguing many of the nation's largest and oldest transit systems. The collective state of good repair backlog for the 10 largest agencies across the country is about $100 billion. However, other major US cities have begun to look to the future, make plans, and prioritize mass transit investment. If we don't follow their lead, we risk falling further behind. So to put this in context, we spend less than half of what New York spends per resident on capital investment. Recently, New York City and state agreed to a new funding transit package. The result, a five-year, $29 billion plan, MTA's largest ever. After New York, Los Angeles spends the most on capital per resident. LA recently extended its Gold Line rail service. The project added 11.5 miles of track, six new stations and park and ride lots. Additionally, California recently passed legislation that authorizes LA Metro to place a sales tax measure on the ballot for voter consideration. The ballot measure is one part of a long-term plan that anticipates spending $120 billion of transportation investment over the next 40 years, the bulk of which will go to transit. And it's not just our most obvious competitors who are investing. Cities that several years ago had very little mass transit are raising revenue, building new lines, and trying to catch up with us. Seattle is in the process of expanding its light rail system through increased sales tax and license plate registration fees. Just 10 days ago, they announced an ambitious $50 billion plan for a 25-year light rail expansion ballot initiative. This year alone, Denver is opening five new transit lines, funded through an increase in sales tax. And in the past 30 years, Dallas has gone from having no light rail system to having the most extensive system across in the country, running at 90 miles, adding to its already existing bus and commuter rail network. So why are those cities choosing to invest? Why should we? Well, let's start with this. Every billion invested in public transportation supports and creates more than 50,000 jobs. Those 50,000 new jobs generate billions of dollars in additional sales, an increase in GDP, and increased worker income. After the Morgan Street station on the Green and Pink lines opened in the West Loop, the number of business licenses issued within a half a mile of the station jumped 13%. What else? Well, transit also increases home values. When the New Jersey transit rail system reduced its travel times to Midtown Manhattan, home values in New Jersey grew by $11 billion in the first 10 years. That generated $250 million in new property tax revenue. During the recession, homes located near our own metro stations were more likely to retain their value as compared to homes in the rest of the region, making them more resilient and performing 23% better. The economic benefits of transit investment are real and significant. See, this isn't just a system that costs taxpayers and riders billions of dollars a year. It's a system that generates billions of dollars a year for this city, region, and state. It's not just a system that's funded with the sales tax that you pay on your daily purchases. It's a system that generates sales and drives the economy. The question shouldn't be how can we afford to make this investment? The question should be how can we afford not to invest? You may be wondering yourselves, why now? You know, we've certainly put off major capital investments in the past, but I would argue by not acting now, we are truly missing an opportunity. The economy is changing, and now, more than ever, employers want to be based in high-density urban locations. The clustering of business, people, and ideas, this type of marketplace is what really transit promotes. More than 62% of workers coming to Chicago's Loop take buses and trains, the arteries of Chicago. Those buses and trains keep the blood flowing to the heart of our regional and state economy. The number of rides on CTA last year was 515 million, and that was the eighth straight year in a row that they have provided more than 500 million rides. As more and more companies and jobs gravitate towards Chicago's central business district, we must continue to assure that the system is healthy enough to meet that ever-increasing demand. This increased urbanization is a nationwide trend. Our competitors have not been afraid to capitalize on this trend, knowing that there is broad support for transit investment. People are willing to pay for safe, reliable transit that gets them where they need to go. Last November, 79% of the initiatives on ballots passed. That's 11 of 14 across the nation. In 2012, 21 states approved plans to raise additional revenues for transportation. Since last year, 9 states have chosen to raise their gas tax and fund investment in infrastructure. I think this isn't so scary. This, you know, others have done it. We can do it too. You know, I worry, like, where's Chicago? It was a city of broad shoulders, lost its moxie, lost its determination. And I think we can survive this, but I think we have to really make the decision to make the investments. A recent study shows that 2/3 of Americans support using the gas tax to actually fund transit. Other areas across the country are recognizing that public acknowledgement, and we must pay to maintain our reliable transportation networks. I'm going to go a step further and say that we should not only take the opportunity to invest now, that investment should be a long-term commitment. A dedicated, stable, long-term revenue source will provide certainty and allow for the planning and execution of large-scale capital projects. But even if we aren't guaranteed long-term funding, we still need to plan for the future. I believe we should plan our long-term needs and create partnerships and creative solutions to get there. What I fear is that the day-to-day and year-to-year crisis stymies our growth. I think what we too often do is plan and program for the political climate of the present day. Instead, we need to start thinking beyond 5-year capital programs, beyond 5-year federal funding authorizations, beyond intermittent and unpredictable 5-year state plans. We too often react to what is politically feasible, and in doing so, we leave out a large part of that narrative. You know what else? I think those visits we did to DC really did pay off. We were a united voice that helped persuade Congress to pass the FAST Act, a bill that includes billions of dollars in federal funding for our region over the next 5 years. Nonetheless, we still have to contribute. I certainly don't want to downplay the importance of federal funding, but it alone cannot provide all the funding we need. And here's the point. We're not asking for a state subsidy. We're talking about an investment. We have a real opportunity to accentuate our assets, create jobs, and have the region really profit from that success. But with that being said, we could delay our transit capital investment in infrastructure. We certainly have delayed those investments in the past. There's no red siren going off, no alarm threatening a shutdown of our system or massive service cuts or fare increases. The decline will be, as it has been, gradual. Over time, as more and more of our transit assets fall out of a state of good repair, service will likely become more sporadic, stations will fall into a state of disrepair, and on-time performance will lag. If the result is a decrease in ridership, this will only accentuate our problems, leading to less operating revenue and eventually those service cuts and fare increases, a vicious downward spiral. With no investment in capital, we will certainly be outpaced by our national competitors who, in appealing to changing demographics and a demand for increase in flexible mobility, are choosing to invest in their transit assets. We've already seen this investment begin around the country. Without the proper investment in capital, our system will be alive but not vibrant, operating but not growing, and rolling along but not truly moving forward. The bottom line is, as Jim pointed out yesterday, the underinvestment in our transportation system is really a state crisis, a crisis that can be partially addressed by lawmakers in Springfield, and one that affects everyone in the state. We simply can't afford to fall further behind. Yet, unlike some of the other major issues facing our state, this particular crisis, I believe, presents a unique and significant opportunity. Investing in our transit system is not just another problem that we have to deal with within this unprecedented state fiscal crisis. Wouldn't it be ironic if we took the system we had for granted and others around the US actually continued to pour money into theirs and we actually fell behind them? Please join me in making sure that doesn't happen. So in closing, I want everyone, all of us here, to start thinking differently when it comes to funding our transit system. A long-term funding source dedicated to our system's capital assets is an investment, a necessary investment, an investment that generates jobs, construction, economic activity and sales, an investment in young and mobile workforces who rely on, in fact, demand transit service. An investment that retains an aging baby boomer population who seek additional transit options in their retirement years. In short, this investment should be part of the solution. Let's change our mindset. Let's work together. Oh, and actually, before I think I have to hand it back over to Paul, I think I'm going to live tweet. This might be a first for City Club. I'm trying to keep up with my kids. I have to keep up my social media profile, which is sadly lacking sometimes. So I'm going to live tweet here and recognize City Club. So with that, though, I will do that. And then, Paul, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
First live tweet you've ever had.
Sweet, Paul.
Oh, this is the first live tweet. We've had a lot of dead tweets. Franzik can vouch for that. All right. If we have questions, young Amanda, do your usual pose. She's reaching out for a question. There she comes. By the way, I thought it wasn't the accent, but I did think it was rather Shakespearean, your presentation. Watch this one, guys. You ready? Yeah, no, I just thought it was reminded me so much of Juliet on the balcony saying, revenue, revenue, wherefore art thou?
I'll make that my new tagline.
All right. I just thought I'd throw that in for the serious conversation we had. Here we go. Steve Schlickman. Where are you, Steve? Like every time you ask a question, your affiliation does different. What is this? U-Grid and Infrastructure Data Service?
See me later.
I'm sure it's legit. Can you explain what is the RTA capital program and how the RTA works with the CTA, Metra and PACE, to create IT?
It.
IT is part of it. So each of the service boards, we actually work very collaboratively with the service boards. I mean, we know how much there's a finite pot of money, which is really sort of the crux of our sort of coordination collaboration, I think, these days. There's a finite pot of money that we have to divvy up. We work very closely with the service boards on looking at the region's assets, what we need to invest in, and they compile their plans, bring them to us, and then we collectively sort of look at how much money we've got and how much we can fund. But I do think we've made a lot more effort to work collectively. We've done a lot more work across all four agencies on looking at our assets, keeping an up-to-date inventory, and really starting to prioritize where those investments should go. And very much, I think, right now, focused on, I'll just tap dance for a few seconds, focus on customer-facing improvements. So making sure that rail cars and buses are front and center in those investments.
The mayor, Peterson, you had a question that somehow we misplaced. Why don't you yell it out?
Are you pleased with what the state legislature and the state Department of Revenue have done to eliminate the ghost offices in Will County that avoid paying the sales tax to our transportation system here in the greatest metropolitan system in the world?
Thank you.
Now you can see why we perhaps misplaced that one.
The RTA has been very actively in sort of engaged in pursuing, making sure that we get all the sales tax that are due to us, especially businesses that have bricks and mortar in our six county area. They're taking advantage in the benefits of the transit system. So, largely those operations, those kinds of activities have ended. And I think due to a lot of the good work that the RTA and some other municipal entities have taken on to ensure that all the sales tax that is due to the region is collected and used in the appropriate places.
Well, seeing no more questions, kind of shocking. Obviously, you did such a great job. You answered them all. Oh, wait, this young man has a question. You don't want to write it down. What is it? Stand up real loud. Real loud.
It's in the process. All right. My question is...
First of all, who are you?
You didn't get my name last time. I'm Baird Green from Bronner Group. Given the relationship between transit service and land use and the physical infrastructure that the transit service boards and RTA don't own, how does RTA envision working with CDOT, Cook County, DOT, and all the other agencies that have direct control of the roadways to improve transit service?
We love roads. I'm in transit now. I've always been in transportation. And so, I like to say I've done planes, trains, and automobiles. So I actually bring to this current position sort of a municipal perspective, a highway perspective, and now layer that onto the transit perspective. And I think that's sort of my calling card, is like working with all these other entities. None of us do this alone. We all do this together. We've got great relationships with the tollway, PACES, fostered those even further with the tollway and IDOT, and the bus on shoulder and some of the improvements out there. So I think it's been sort of one of my biggest goals. My tenure at RTA is to really foster that collaboration and beyond just our transit family to the other partners that really influence the broader transportation network, because it is a network. And as the mobility of the region changes, people don't just take the same mode of transportation every day. Today you got up, you might have taken the train to work, but if it actually hits 50 today, you might decide to divvy home. And I think all those pieces are actually important puzzle pieces that we all have to work with and sort of build upon. I think they're all important for all of us, because that's the way people live and that's the way people behave, and I think we have to capitalize on that.
Okay. How about a big round of applause for our speaker? Harding.